Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. We have before us another very significant and teachable event in James Tallarico winning the Democrat Senate primary in Texas. Tallarico is a Democrat leftist, holding to all of those positions we expect from Democrats, pro-transgenderism, pro-LGBTQ, pro-same-sex marriage, pro-abortion, pro-men and women's sports, pro-open borders, pro-government social programs. But here's the difference. He vocally proclaims to be a Christian, and he has a seminary degree from Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Now, many politicians on the left will tacitly claim to be Christian, but Tallarico makes Christianity his platform, telling his audience that Christ is for transgenderism and abortion and same-sex marriage and all of those other Democrat positions that generally the Christian community finds biblically indefensible. Tallarico is attempting to play into and identifying with the huge church-attending voting bloc in Texas. He is considered a rising star in the Democrat Party. He is educated. He's articulate. He's enthusiastic. He even impressed Joe Rogan in an interview last year. And so even though he's a newbie in the Texas House of Representatives, the Democrat Party has put him forward to run for Senate. And they're always looking out for a dynamic candidate to flip Texas red. I remember in 2018, the Democrats ran Beto O'Rourke against Ted Cruz for Texas Senate. And the Democrats poured $80 million into that race to support Beto O'Rourke. And it was a close race. Beto lost by only 2.6%, even in conservative Texas. Well, the Democrats are trying again with Tallarico. The Democrat primary was last month. It was Tallarico versus Jasmine Crockett. Crockett was just finishing up her first term in the United States House of Representatives, and she made quite a name for herself as a radical Democrat political hothead. Well, because of redistricting in Texas, she wasn't going to win her seat in Congress again, so she decided to run for the Senate position. But even some Saturday Night Live comedians said that with her toxic style, there's no way she's going to become the senator of Texas. A quote from Matt Rogers over at SNL. Let me just qualify the Jasmine Crockett thing. She is not going to win the Senate seat in Texas, you guys. If Beto O'Rourke couldn't do it, Jasmine Crockett is not going to do it. It's nothing against her. It's just that she's a politician and that she's very well defined already. And it's my opinion that we're going to need someone who is less defined at this moment that rises up. So enters Tallarico, a fresh face. He doesn't have all the political baggage of Jasmine Crockett. However, there is something about Tallarico the Democrats didn't plan on. His vocal, progressive, heretical spin on Christianity that may actually have the opposite results for the Democrats. Tallarico's heresy may wake up church-going Texans and result in his defeat. You know, it's one thing if you say you're a secular politician that's for transgenderism and abortion and LGBTQ, because it needs to be allowed for the sake of personal liberty and pluralism. But it's a whole other thing if you proclaim in your campaign that Jesus Christ is for abortion and transgenderism, that God is non-binary. Now, on the Republican side, there is infighting. The current Republican Senator, John Cornyn, has been challenged by the former Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, because Cornyn has been a moderate opposing President Trump on many points. So in the primary last month, it was too close to call. So they're going to have a runoff in May. Right now, as Paxton and Cornyn are fighting it out, polls have Tallarico in the lead. But back in 2018, some polls had Beto O'Rourke in the lead. But just note this. You know, the Democrats keep putting forth progressive candidates in red states, hoping that the conservative base will eventually erode and die off due to attrition. But the subject for this program is James Tallarico, how he's a prime example of what is called progressive, leftist, woke evangelicalism or Christianity. He is the poster child. And we need to be aware of this man, this movement, and the false teaching. Remember Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Notice Jesus' whole point is that false teachers will appear to be and profess to be sheep, Christians. They will not come denying Jesus Christ, but they will claim to identify with God and with Jesus Christ. But it's a facade, an outward costume. Inwardly, they're not just misguided sheep. Jesus said they are ravenous wolves. And they are worse than the average run-of-the-mill unbeliever because it takes a greater degree of dishonesty, self-delusion, and chutzpah to claim Christianity when one knows one is actually opposing historic Christianity. The wolf in sheep's clothing has knowledge and greater accountability and engages in deliberate deception. So notice how Jesus doesn't mince words. They are ravenous wolves. Given Jesus' words, are we aware that such people exist? Are we prepared to run into them often? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Not just a few, but many. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17, now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. They look like they're servants of God, but they believe God supports their fleshly appetites. Hence, they're actually serving their fleshly appetites and not Christ. No matter how much the scripture warns us about false teachers, when they do arrive, they will always fool some. As in Romans chapter 16, verse 18, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. The Greek word translated here, unsuspecting, means those who are without bad or the innocent. It refers to those who just don't understand how evil works. The innocent would never be deceptive and duplicitous themselves, so they can't imagine how or why anyone else could be. How could anyone be so nice and smiley and friendly and be a false teacher? And so voters will think he's such a nice guy. He says he's all about love. Therefore, he gets my vote. But remember Jesus' warning. We must be aware that those who outwardly look like sheep may inwardly be evil. And yes, evil can appear righteous. It will certainly claim to be righteous. So you say, well, how can you tell? Well, if it's a wolf in sheep's clothing, look for the zipper in the costume. Or as Jesus said, that zipper is their fruit or their behavior. The wolf may claim to be a sheep, but the wolf will behave like a wolf. Jesus went on in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Now, when we think about fruits, we think of those who profess to know God, but they live immoral lives, or they're corrupt in their finances, or they're abusive toward their spouse. And that certainly is a way to tell if someone is a fraud. But there is a more obvious fruit, the fruit of one's words. Teaching things contrary to the moral law of God is bad fruit. In that same chapter, Matthew 7, Jesus goes on to speak about many at the judgment who will say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" And Jesus says, "I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And that's the main point. They say, "Lord, Lord," and they claim to do many wonderful works for the Lord, but they promote a lawless, immoral faith. The law of God, the standards of God's holiness, are the way we distinguish between sheep and wolves. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." And also 1 John 2, 4, "The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So anyone who promotes or supports sexual immorality, abortion, gender rebellion, same-sex marriage, is a false teacher. They don't have Christ. They do not have God. And despite what leftist Christianity claims, Jesus did not come to remove or abrogate the moral law of God given in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, again, the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." So those who promote immorality, whether religiously or politically, are false teachers. And don't make the mistake of separating the religious from the political. Because for ungodly politicians, it's still all about false doctrine, a false source of authority, false worldview. Here's an article from the Daily Wire about James Tallarico entitled, "A Kind of Heretic is Still a Heretic." James Tallarico is a walking caricature of the very worst elements of progressive Christianity. David French calls him a Christian X-ray. You know, David French is one of those never-Trumpers professing to be an evangelical Christian. He sides with the Democrats and leftist evangelical groups in opposition to Donald Trump and his policies. Well, French wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times praising Tallarico as an X-ray Christian that illuminates the failures of conservative Christians. Why? Because even though Tallarico may have some unorthodox doctrines, he's still loving and nice, not like Trump and the MAGA supporters. So Andrew Walker, who writes this article, states, "This past Sunday, French turned his column into something of a praise for James Tallarico, the freshly minted Texas Democrat Senate nominee who has parlayed his Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary enrollment into a national brand. French called Tallarico a Christian X-ray and reframed the country's primary political divide not from right versus left, but decent versus indecent. The implications, apparently, is that a smiling seminarian who talks about love, who denies essential doctrines of the Christian faith, and who supports unfettered access to abortion and affirms gender ideology represents the decent side in opposition to MAGA Christianity, which trades virtue for cruelty," in French's mind. In truth, Tallarico is a walking caricature of the very worst elements of progressive Christianity, coupled with his Boy Scoutish looks and deep Southern folksiness. What is saddest about French's column is not the argument itself, but what the argument reveals about David French. There is a deep, corrosive bitterness driving it. His contempt for conservative Christians who have voted for Trump has mutated over time into something uglier, a reflective and condescending derision of anyone who refuses to share his political judgments, dressed up as prophetic moral clarity. Let us all take a lesson that deep-seated rage at Donald Trump and his Christian supporters does not justify placating doctrinal error, like the heresy of Tallarico. When you begin describing a progressive politician who affirms abortion as a Christian x-ray that illuminates the failures of conservative Christians, you have not elevated your commentary. You have descended into trollish editorializing with a more elite platform. Progressive Christianity is not Christianity. Any movement and any 30-something seminarian that denies the core doctrines of the Christian faith has not offered a fresh reading of the tradition. It has departed from the tradition. The tradition has a word for that departure. It's called heresy. And anyone, including certain New York Times columnists, who aid and abet such departures by insisting that they still count as authentic Christianity, is not offering serious commentary on the Christian faith. It is offering theological malpractice to a very large audience. Unquote, Andrew Walker, Associate Professor of Christian Ethics and Public Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Great article. And notice Tallarico and his redefinition of Christianity is a rallying point, a gathering together to expose those who are on the side of leftist Christianity. He distinguishes whether one's Christianity is biblical Christianity or a woke Jesus, where love for man and human autonomy is the excuse to justify immoral lawlessness. There are really only two religions in this world, and it's really being exposed through people like Tallarico. The religion of the holy God versus the God who affirms man and human desires. And the God that affirms man is really Satan disguising himself as God. Professing evangelicals who worship a Jesus who affirms LGBTQ and various immoralities and abortion, those second generation Bible Belt Christians who have the culture of Christianity but not the biblical convictions, they are actually siding with Satan. They are the Israelites in the wilderness who built the golden calf. They are the Baal worshipers who opposed the conservative moral prophets of Jehovah God, like Elijah and Elisha. By the way, James Carville, the Democrat strategist, he has one of the filthiest, vile mouths in politics, but he claims to be on God's side. And he said recently, "I hate Donald Trump," calling him a curse word. "I have Trump derangement syndrome, but I don't want to get better. I want to get worse. I want to hate Donald Trump even more." Well, that's nothing new for Carville, but then he said this, quote, "I want to invoke the name of Providence, the name of the Almighty, He who rules the world, the King of us all, the King of kings. I want His blessing. I want to have a vision tonight when I'm sleeping, and I want the Lord to appear to me and say, 'James, you are my humble servant. You are executing thy will on the earth.'" So Carville believes the Creator God is on his side in opposition to conservative Christian values. So why does James Carville and so many on the left hate Trump? It's not because of Trump's demeanor or his bluster, because plenty of the politicians they love have the same demeanor and bluster. They hate Trump and his administration, and they hate the MAGA right because of the moral policies. Carville and the left believe God supports abortion and transgenderism and same-sex marriage, that God is for man and for man's fleshly desires, that God wants man to be morally free to do as thou wilt. And that God that they believe in, my contention is that biblically, this is unknowingly the worship of the God of this world, Satan. Although for now, they may believe they're worshiping the true God. And when the positions of Satan and God are someday fully revealed, I guarantee you that the ungodly will say, well, what do you know? I was actually siding with Satan all the time. Satan's positive acceptance of mankind. And I really do not side with this creator God and his rules. And this siding with Satan is the Gnostic Christianity of James Tallarico. Now, if you're not familiar with the false teaching of Gnosticism that arose in the early church as a counterfeit Christianity, you will become familiar with it because it's on the rise and it will soon take over the world. Because it will be the false teaching of the Antichrist and the false teaching of the apostasy that will come upon the whole world before the apocalypse. You know, it's the false teaching that Jesus said will be so deceiving, so slick, so convincing, that if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect. Matthew 24:24. In other words, only those who are truly born again will not be taken in by this last day teaching. So what's Gnosticism? And what does it have to do with the political candidate, James Tallarico? Well, Tallarico, who is part of the Texas House LGBTQ caucus, has claimed many times that God is non-binary and beyond gender. Now, he claims that all theologians agree that God himself does not have a gender. Of course, that's true. But what he extrapolates from this is that God now doesn't care about gender, that gender can now be your choice. And he quotes out of context the Galatians text where Paul writes that there is neither male or female, for we are all one in Christ. But Paul was not erasing gender distinctions. Even Jesus said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. What Paul was saying is that in regard to our relationship with Christ, in regard to eternal salvation, the distinction of whether you're Jew or Gentile or male or female or a slave or a freeman doesn't matter. But of course it matters in regard to earthly calling. Gender does matter. In a recent message at a church, Tallarico said the following, and here's the clip in his own words.
In the Gospel of Thomas, which was later omitted from the Bible by church officials, the Gospel of Thomas quotes Jesus as saying, when you make the male and female one and the same, when the male is not male, when the female is not female, then you will enter the kingdom of God.
The Gospel of Thomas is a false book. It's what's called an apocryphal work. It's part of what's called the Gnostic Gospels. The Gnostics were prolific writers. They create all sorts of books claiming to be apostolic, but they were simply books that taught Gnosticism. Real quick, what does Gnosticism teach? Well, they claim that the true creator God created other beings, eons, emanations from his being. And one of those beings, named Sophia, a feminine deity, bore an illegitimate child without the permission of the true God. And this child's name was Eldabaoth, also called the Demiurge. And this Demiurge was born deformed and twisted. And it's this Demiurge who became the creator of the material world. And since the Demiurge was flawed, so was his creation. The Demiurge was a vengeful, jealous god of wrath who just wanted power for himself. And he worked to keep his subjects under control and under slavery with all sorts of rules. And if they broke any of his rules, he would punish them with pain and suffering. So you see what's going on here and how this is really Satan's argument against God. So Sophia, realizing her mistake, tried to save mankind by bringing to mankind the truth that they were being oppressed by the Demiurge, the Creator God. That men and women are really divine. Sophia tried to bring them knowledge so they could experience their true divine selves. It was Sophia who possessed the snake in the garden to bring mankind knowledge and to free mankind from the oppression of the Creator God. So in Gnosticism, Satan and the serpent is the good guy in the story. And the Creator God is the evil, wrathful God who won't let you do your own thing, but's trying to keep you down with rules. So this is the teaching of Gnosticism, and it is pure Satanism. Other false religions have elements of Satan's argument, but Gnosticism is the crack cocaine of false religion. It is pure, raw Satanism. It's Satan's original argument against God that it seems as if Satan is reviving in these last days. Hence, we are seeing popping up all over the place the oppression narrative coming from the left, that Christianity and Western values are oppression and they're keeping mankind down. Where do you think all this is coming from? You know, Gnosticism and the doctrine of demons. Well, here's something also to note. From the writings of the early church fathers, we know about the Gnostic Gospels, such as the Book of Thomas, the Book of Mary, the Book of Jude, the Apocryphon of John. But no copies of the Gnostic Gospels were ever circulated or existed until 1947, when they were found in Egypt in what is called the Nag Hammadi Library, manuscripts dating back to the 4th century. And they were not published until 1977. And even the Book of Judas, which makes Judas the good guy in the story, was not published until 2006. And when they were published, liberal unbelievers in mainstream denominational churches claimed that this is the true gospel. This is what the established church has been keeping from the people. Because as the leftist narrative goes, the established church's real motive has always been to oppress people with moral laws so that the church can maintain its power through guilt. But according to the Gnostic Gospels, Christ was teaching Gnosticism and he was trying to free us from this cruel God and all of these rules. So just notice how the Gnostic Gospels just happened to have been discovered right in time for the last days. Satan's final assault and deception. Now back to James Tallarico. He not only quotes from the Gnostic Book of Thomas to argue for transgenderism, but he begins by saying the Gospel of Thomas was omitted from the Bible by church officials. And if you know the backstory, you know that he's parroting the liberal line. Tallarico believes that the Book of Thomas belongs in the Bible, and he holds to the narrative that it was kept out of the Bible by church officials because church officials want to maintain their power through the use of moral beliefs. So Tallarico quotes as biblical authority the Book of Thomas, that when male is not male and female is not female, then you'll enter the kingdom of God. And that is Gnosticism. Just like leftism today, Gnosticism rejects any moral standards in the physical world because what matters is your spirit, not what you do with your body. James Tallarico has fully bought into the false teaching of Gnosticism, and that's why he holds to a different version of Christianity and another Jesus. There is a false systematic theology behind all this. And where do you think he learned this from? He has a seminary degree from Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary, And this is part of the liberal mainline denomination, Presbyterian Church USA. And if you go on the seminary website, there it states that the seminary welcomes people of all sexual orientations and gender expressions. You say, how can a Christian seminary hold to such positions? Well, because it's not a Christian seminary. These institutions have become centers of Gnosticism, identical to the Gnosticism in the early church. The Democrat Senate candidate in Texas, James Tallarico, is a prime example of a false teacher. And that false teaching is reflected in his political positions and values. So brethren, don't be naive, don't be unaware. 1 John 4, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you heard that it is coming, and it is now already in the world. One final thought. When we evangelize, we can no longer simply say, come to Jesus and be saved, because we're dealing with a generation that is not prepared for the Lord. Which Jesus are you coming to? The woke Jesus or the biblical holy Jesus? And what are you being saved from? Your sin or your perceived oppression? In explaining the gospel to people today, we must explain what they must receive to be saved, and also the false gospel they must reject. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below. Stay firm in the word, and may Jesus Christ reign.